Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. Yes, it's early, hence why the audio is a little bit lower, a little bit smoother, because my entire neighbourhood are sleeping. But someone that was not sleeping is Max Verstappen. We'll get into that very shortly. Tom Bellingham, how are you feeling, big boy? You're looking great. Are you feeling great as a Max Verstappen fan?
It's kind of normal now, isn't it? You just don't feel anything. It's pretty weird.
I don't feel anything. That's a pretty apt statement, I think, for most Formula One fans around the world. Before we dive into everything, I just want to shout out the P1 live show, Cambridge, Bath and London. It is only a few weeks away, the 11th, the 12th and the 14th of April. If you want to come and see me and Tommy talk about all the big things that have been happening in Formula One recently, it's a show, it's not a podcast, it's integrated with you guys. There's games, there's prizes to be won. You can meet new Formula One fans, become friends with them and even maybe become friends with Tommy. Who knows? I'm still working on it. If you want to come along, then there's a link all over our social media, or just type in P1 Live Show. It'll come up on Google. Thank you very much. Okay, let's dive straight into Q1 then, shall we? And out was Hülkenberg, Gasly, Ricciardo, Zhou and Sargeant. First and foremost, I've got to say, Sargeant, you know, could have done better today. Didn't really put
it's
in
like
the
he
performance
didn't turn up.
That... Yeah, it genuinely, like, what's the guy doing? You know, he's been given this opportunity this year, really needs to turn the wheel a bit quicker. I'm sorry. It's savage. Logan, I hope that you had a good time. Was he at the track? I assume he was.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, just chilling.
For the classic social media post from Williams, like, Logan doing everything
team support,
he can.
Supporting from the sidelines and all that good stuff.
Basically there with to deliver Alex Albon a birthday card or something. And then
yeah, it's a bit savage,
applaud.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But you have to say, his teammate did deliver pretty well today. But in terms of the other four that were out, obviously the big talking point is Daniel Ricciardo extending track limits and going out in Q1. Question from P1 Patreon member Ali, will Ricciardo be out mid-season if he doesn't pick up the pace? Now, this is an interesting question, really, because I think a lot of other drivers, if we're envisioning a bad season for them, you go, yeah, seat under threat. And I don't think Daniel Ricciardo is immune to that. However, and I think we're both on the same kind of wavelength here, Tommy, Danny Ric is a bit of a, despite literally turning his back on Red Bull a few years ago, kind of still the golden boy in some regard. And in my head, I just can't see it happening unless he has bin after bin after Q1 exit after Q1 exit, half a second off Sonoda, you know, looking like he was at McLaren, perhaps against Lando Norris. I don't think they would make that savage swap, personally.
Yeah, he's got so much sort of credit in the bank and also the amazing marketing clout. And a lot of people will be going, oh, but that's not Formula One, but the sad reality is it is part of it. And do I think that if Daniel Ricciardo's name was Nick De Vries or even, you know, we've seen him, but say like a Red Bull Junior or whatever, like Lawson, and we'd not seen what he'd done before, there would be, you know, there are being questions asked about Daniel Ricciardo. But yeah, I think just because of his personality, I don't agree with it, but I think his personality and the fact that he's so loved in the team, and you know, Christian Horner, and for example, I feel like did everything to get him back in that car. You can see that from Drive to Survive. So it's going to be tough to sort of kick him back down. It has to go really bad, and it is going that way. You know, Yuki's all the way up there in eighth. It's another situation where it will, you know, it's only, we've not even had the third race yet, but it's not looking good for Daniel Ricciardo at all. But I think he's very fortunate. The things that he's had before him is probably going to save him from a mid-season swap. But if he carries on like this, it's not going to be there next year. That's for sure.
Yes, I think that you make a valid observation that we haven't even had the third race yet. And we have to, you know, before we start to really think about whether he's going to get dropped, see a few more races. If this is the trend, then yeah, he could be in some serious trouble where we're thinking, oh, is he going to go to Red Bull? The opposite. It could be literally going the opposite way, which is such a shame. You know, we both love Daniel Ricciardo. A lot of people love Daniel, but I think there's also a lot of frustration perhaps that he gets treated maybe slightly differently to, as you say, younger drivers that will be ousted out mid-season because they haven't, you know, they've had their debut season and they haven't picked it up straight away. So it is a shame because not only did he extend track limits, but even with that lap, I still think he was a handful of tenths behind Yuki Tsunoda. He would have made it through out of Q1, I think, but it was no special lap. It's not like he was right on par with Yuki. And also, I don't think you can take away, as much as it was Danny Ric's bad performance, but I think it was also a great performance from Yuki, which we'll get onto a little bit later. Other drivers to speak about was, of course, Hülkenberg, that was impeded by Sergio Perez in Q1. Now, as of recording, we don't know if there's been any penalty that's handed out, whether that will happen. Who knows? But I'm definitely on the phone to the steward saying yes, because Charles Leclerc will then gain a position. I'm joking. I haven't actually seen the incident. I didn't see a replay. Was there a replay even shown of the impeding?
Not on Sky Sports, no.
Yeah, so we'll see on that one. But obviously, Perez had a great qualifying, you know, up in P3 and exactly where he needs to be in that Red Bull. So we'll see if he gets a penalty for that one. But of course, Hülkenberg was knocked out, which is usually when you think, OK, they are going to take this seriously, because sometimes you see it where a driver will impede someone else in Q1, but they both make it through and then it's sort of just like brushed to one side. But with Hülkenberg not making it through, perhaps there'll be a different outcome. And then, of course, Gasly in the Alpine washed, as always. And then Zhou, that had picked up some damage, I think, at turn 10, but still 19th. Not good.
No, so much for Kick Sauber being a surprise. And then Bottas, 13th, is quite respectable.
Yeah, you know, come on, chef on the Aussie, come on.
The Uber driver in 13th. Not good for Zhou Guan Yu. He was unfortunate by the look of it with his front wing, but yeah, it's not the best start of the season for them. It is, other than Yuki Tsunoda, that, you know, the gap does seem like massive between those teams, doesn't it? The lower teams can't really do anything, so the best they are hoping for is like a 12th, 13th.
Apart from your boy Yuki, you know, I mean, you're trying to tee that one up, bro, but you know, we haven't got to Q3 yet, so give us a second. Let's go to Q2 then. We're out. Was Hamilton, Albon, Bottas, Magnussen and Ocon. And of course, in that list, the biggest talking point, Lewis Hamilton being knocked out. And again, you know, we're back on the same conversation where we're going, Hamilton out-qualified by Russell. You know, there's going to be lots of chat. Is Hamilton finished? Russell destroying him? But it was, I think, 0.05 of a second between George Russell and Lewis Hamilton. Nothing. Yep. Absolutely nothing between them. But of course, Hamilton getting knocked out and then George Russell doing a great job in Q3 to thrust that Mercedes into P7. There was a lot of chat afterwards about how the Mercedes is quite, by the sounds of it, quite wind sensitive, and sometimes they'll be decent like an FP3 and the feeling was good, but then as soon as the wind picks up, the car is very much on a knife's edge and it only works in certain conditions, which, you know, for a Mercedes, that's not what you build a car for. You build a car to be consistently quick over all the Grand Prix so that you can win a championship. But instead, it's very clear that it's an inconsistent car, because at one point you think, oh, they're back, and then they're not. And then they are, and then they're not again. And they're just baiting their fans. That's the most savage thing, is that they're baiting their own fans with this inconsistent car.
It's very, very concerning for Mercedes how it's not as bad, but obviously last year, not for a second saying it's as bad as this, but of course, you know, Haas didn't understand their car at all last year. Not saying the Mercedes is as bad as Haas, but wow, I guess you could argue
that's going to be in the front page of the tabloids. There, Bellingham says Mercedes are Haas.
The problem is, you're never gonna, if you didn't understand the car, or okay, maybe like Aston Martin towards the end of the season where they dropped off. The problem is not understanding the car, because how are you going to make progress? And like I said yesterday, Mercedes just seemed to be like, oh, we're changing this. Oh, no, we need to revert back to this. Oh, we need to do this. We need to do that. And there's no clear direction of what they should be doing. And that is the most concerning thing. So, yeah, at the moment, it's looking like Hamilton's made quite a good decision to get out of there, because you've got to think that, I'll be amazed if they're anywhere until 2026, personally.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think that very much a write-off between now and the end of 25, unless they can produce a miracle and find that sweet spot with the car. I think this is a product of, you know, you think of in 2021 and how obscene of a title fight that was between Red Bull and Mercedes, and of course Hamilton versus Verstappen. You do wonder, like, how much of their focus and direction of
that's mad of producing though, isn't it? Because we thought the opposite would happen
behind the scenes. Yeah, but they got it wrong. Like, they made a crucial error with that car of the no side pods, which you then think, well, they won a race with it, and then they changed it. And that is, I think we're literally seeing a byproduct of a team changing direction when other teams have put research and development in before the regulations are brought in, so that then they can continue to build on a car. But if you're constantly changing the philosophy and which way you're going with the car, of course you're going to be behind. Unless you, again, hit a miracle and you get everything together, this is exactly what happens.
And then Adrian Newey goes and does your concept and makes it work. Obviously big, heavy, there's big rumours that we get to Japan and Red Bull might not have any side pods, and it looked very much like last year's Merc, and that could be very interesting indeed. I say interesting, terrible for Formula One.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe they'll produce a Mercedes no side pod, and then we have a championship back on, at least for Suzuka. Other drivers obviously to speak about was Albon, 12th place for him. I think that was, you know, a fantastic performance. You know, some people will go, yeah, well, it's not in the points, so is it? So Logan could have had a go. But I guarantee if Logan was in that car and there was this whole conversation 17th. And he gets knocked out in Q1, everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people would have gone, well, why didn't they put Albon in the car? It just is the way in which this works. But I think Albon did a great job. He didn't crash. If it had crashed, then fair play.
There were
so many I told you so's that would have come out of the woodwork if that had happened. But instead, Albon showing that I think he got the most out of the car today.
Yeah, Logan's really struggled in qualifying. Even this year where you thought he'd improve, he's been knocked out in Q1 in both sessions. You know, there's no guarantee that Albon's going to get points tomorrow. It's very difficult. It just gives them the better chance of delivering that, because Albon's up there already almost in the points, and with the greatest respect to Logan, he's not shown us anything that suggests that he wouldn't be kind of mixing it up 17th, 18th and 19th based on how he's qualified this year. So it is an absolutely savage decision. We said it yesterday, we've not spoken on the pod since it's actually been confirmed. It is incredibly savage, but it is a team sport. I understand that Logan's confidence has probably taken a big hit from it. But then it's kind of his own doing based on how he's been. Like, it is a very difficult decision to make. It's an incredibly difficult decision to make. But like I said, we could have a crazy race tomorrow and say we have loads of incidents, which we've seen before in the Australian Grand Prix, and say loads of there's a big turn one crash and a few of the top runners go out. I know it sounds really far-fetched to say it now, but you never know. Like, say like that happens and there's a P6 up for grabs between all the kind of bottom teams. Alex Albon is far more likely to get that than Logan Sargeant, and that could literally decide their whole championship position at the end of the year if they bag like 6, 7, 8 points. So,
well, steady on, bro. 6, 7, 8 points. What's happening in the Australian? That's what
I mean. That's what I mean. Like, if there is an absolutely crazy race.
Well, even 1 or 2 points, I think, at this stage with 5 top teams. Yeah. Question from Breezy Ain't Easy. If Albon finishes outside the points or DNFs, was it worth blowing up the confidence of their second driver? Now with this one, it is interesting. I think that they've put their strongest foot forward. It's not a decision that Williams should have had to make, but with how they have had to reshuffle, rejig, redo everything in terms of how cars are made within Williams and all of the archaic processes that they had, this is the position that they were in. What I will say is, yes, it was a savage decision to pick the driver that had just binned it in practice to have your other driver's car to drive for the rest of the weekend. There is no good decision here. Both have drawbacks. But what I will say is that if Logan can't recover from this, he's not cut out for Formula One. That's what I'll just say. Like, okay, he takes a knock of confidence. Williams have to wrap him up in cotton wool and say, we're really sorry, but this is just the way it's happened. If he then, you know, if this then affects him over the next few races, this is Formula One, the pinnacle of motorsport. And if he can't recover, then unfortunately, he's not got the right mindset to be able to perform at the highest level in this sport. What I will say is what he should be thinking, you know, I'm not in the position, I've not had a seat ripped from me, but come back in 2 weeks and show the team why you are worth that seat. Because a lot of people, us included, questioned if he even deserved a seat this season. He's got it. He's got another 20 races. In 5 races' time, we'll forget this if he has even happened. And when he's been knocked out in Q1 or whatever, everyone will be back on the slander train. So,
yeah, it's so true. It's just the way
it unfortunately works.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he needs to come back and basically prove that if this happened again, it's very, 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 very unlikely that it would. But in, you know, he needs to show that this should never happen again and he can deliver. That's what great drivers do. They come back from adversity. And if you can't, then like you say, like, I know it's brutal, but it is. This is the top level of motorsport. It is the elite. And, you know, you have to pick yourself up from it and deliver. And if he does that, you know, it could show to Williams that, yeah, we've made the right choice in keeping him on board and he can still deliver. But, you know, if he falls off a cliff even more, it's quite clear that it's not working.
And don't get me wrong, on the emotional side, I totally get it. I would be devastated.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
this is not the end of the season.
It's incredibly harsh.
We've got 20 races to go after this, or 21. Yeah, 21 races after this. Like, there's enough time for Bro to have his time in the car. It's all good. Okay, next question. P1 Patreon member AMG Piper. What is going on with Hamilton? It's obvious Mercedes aren't pulling up trees this season, but George is getting to Q3, so why isn't Hamilton? I think we've kind of covered this. It is very marginal. He's been on the wrong end of the stick each time so far this season. I think George is doing a good job. It's clear that Hamilton is not confident in the car, and that is the swing of a tenth or two and the difference between these two drivers. And I think it's clear that we've seen that George, in qualifying, Mr. Saturday, all this good stuff, he is very good at qualifying. And when the car's not there and Mercedes are in this mid-pack, that they're going to have these moments that, you know, Hamilton gets knocked out in Q2. I am very sure and very confident that this is not going to be a trend throughout the entire season and that Hamilton will bounce back. But right now, Merck are really struggling. And I think that people that are saying George Russell's better than Lewis Hamilton, it's just such a boring conversation. It's just like, based on what? You know what I mean? Like, last year, Hamilton had a great season. He's not forgotten.
He absolutely
how to
destroyed
drive.
Russell last year. We've had 3 qualifying sessions. The last race wasn't a normal race in terms of Hamilton had a weird strategy. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Hamilton's had a great start to the season because he hasn't. But it is so early to basically be like, Hamilton's finished when he's, like you say, 0.05 off an extremely highly rated young driver in the 3rd race of the season. That makes it look a lot worse than it is. I think once we've seen some more normal races play out, and we've had three or four more races, then, yeah, if it keeps happening every week, or if Hamilton can't deliver in the races, I think that's when I'd be worried about Hamilton, because he's so good in the Grand Prix. Like, that's where he comes into his own, and he's better. So if he doesn't deliver then, that's when I'd worry. Qualifying, not so much.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Q3 then, and of course the running order was as follows: Verstappen, Sainz, Perez, Norris, Leclerc, Piastri, Russell, Tsunoda, Stroll and Alonso. First question is from Papaya Shauna. How's Matt dealing with Leclerc bailing? Great. I mean, I don't know when this goes out in comparison to the clip of me reacting to that, but I was delusional up until the point that I wasn't. When I don't think I saw a purple sector for Charles Leclerc almost the entirety of qualifying. He said himself afterwards that he just couldn't get the feeling with the car, and he felt like there was something wrong from FP3 and it just didn't quite click, and that's fine. I think that definitely third place was on the cards for Charles had he finished that lap, but he made a mistake, and I'm not gonna defend him. He made an error, clearly not embedded in qualifying, and didn't do a good enough job today. Ferrari look good on race pace, should be able to beat McLaren, and then it's about whether Carlos can get in front of the Red Bulls or the Red Bull of Verstappen and see what happens. But yeah, it was a shock. You expect on a Saturday Charles Leclerc to deliver, and it didn't happen, and so now what's the point in living?
Savage. Leclerc, I mean, Sainz looked quicker than him all weekend, which was a surprise, like in all the sessions.
Well, yeah, obviously, he's like weight reduction. He's got no appendix.
But this is the thing. I did not expect Carlos to come back, and we know how good Charles is in qualifying. This is his thing. So, really poor. He's still fifth, and it might even be fourth by the time Perez gets a penalty if that does happen. But yeah, it's not been the greatest kind of qualifying day for Charles, when normally he's doing well. But like I said in the watch along, he clearly thought about your prediction and how you want him to get more wins than poles. And he was on a pretty decent lap and thought, nah, I'm coming into the pits. Yeah, get in the pits. Yep. Keep Matt's
pole was never
alive.
On, unfortunately. But I appreciate Leclerc making sure that that doesn't happen and that he'll just get a wild win at some point. But you know, touching on Carlos Sainz, did a fantastic job today. Cannot take anything away from him. He looked like he was maybe even going to potentially fight for pole until Max Verstappen decided to do Max Verstappen things and set a 15-9. But yeah, Carlos did everything I think that he possibly could have today. And to bounce back from surgery, the pain that I'm sure he was probably in, like, could see afterwards he was looking a little bit tentative. So to perform at that level is incredible. And I'm really regretting not putting him as my biggest good surprise, which is what I was going to do. But there's no points in what I was going to do. It's who I did lock in, which is Esteban Blooming Ocon. But he made it into Q2, so that's an instant point. Lemos9 comes in with a question. Are Ferrari having second thoughts about their 2025 driver choice? No, they're not. D Did you not see the stock price of Ferrari when Lewis Hamilton signed? I know there was also, you know, just generally their forecast financial figures or whatever being up, but also I think they're good. This is Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc being in the same team from next year is the most tantalising prospect for both Spectator and also for Ferrari as a whole. No, they are not regretting it. That's why they signed him. They know that Carlos is a great driver. It's not like Carlos has turned up in qualifying today and we've gone, hold on, I didn't realise you had that in you, Carlos. Carlos has shown that he's got some fantastic pace in his genes. I don't know why I've said that. So, no, they're not having second thoughts. They know exactly what they're doing with Hamilton. Hamilton has not forgotten how to drive, and I'm sure from next year he is going to be sensational, and it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's very easy to like make this joke, the fact that Hamilton's had a difficult start to the year. Leclerc's been out-qualified by Carlos here, but the reality is that they've got Lewis Hamilton. I think the story here, and we've said this before, is that it is a massive shame for Carlos because he is far too good of a driver to have lost his seat. It's just an unfortunate circumstance that Hamilton was the one taking it, and I don't think anyone else.
Well, if Hamilton comes
Verstappen,
knocking, you give up no matter what. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So he's really unfortunate. I think what it should do, and what we've seen from Carlos so far this year, is that while we have many of these conversations of like, is Ricciardo going to go to Red Bull, or oh, Yuki's performing, he should go to Red Bull, or Alonso should go to Mercedes, I think so far, based on this season, Mercedes and Red Bull should be absolutely fighting over Carlos, because it's absolutely criminal that he doesn't have a drive yet. I think also, Kick, Sauber need to basically show what they can do. And maybe it's about them convincing Carlos that it is the right decision to go to Audi. But these teams should be fighting to get Carlos in, because he is far too good of a driver not to have a seat. And it shouldn't even just be a seat. It should be a top seat. Like, he's doing that well. He's shown that he can perform at the top. He's shown he can win. He should be there.
Yeah, Red Bull's an interesting one, because I don't think they really, at this stage, need to be fighting maybe too much for Carlos, because Checo is doing a great job. It depends on how they see the next few years unfolding. Do they want to invest in Carlos as a younger driver? And if Max Verstappen decides to, take iRacing up full time, then what do they do? Where do they put all their eggs then? So I guess they do have to look future-proof wise quite a bit. But yeah, he is so unlucky, Carlos. He wouldn't have lost his seat to many drivers, as we've said before. But look, if Hamilton came knocking and wanted the P1 job, I know for a fact it's P1 with Lewis and Tommy. You know what I mean? It's done. There's no two ways about it. And I know, Tommy, you'd accept it as well.
I'd accept it, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right, calm, sweet. Question, Lumixion. Has Yuki just massively boosted his chances for the Red Bull seat with his Q3 performance? Right, let's relax, everybody. One performance, again, we know that Yuki Tsunoda's got a great performance in him. Just because he sticks it in Q3 once does not mean Red Bull are now, Helmut Marko sprinting down the pit lane. Yuki, I've misjudged you. Do you want to race for Red Bull next year? It's not as simple as that. But I think if Yuki continues on this run of form, absolutely. But we know that Yuki does have peaks and troughs. We just need him to sort of level out a bit at the sort of very good and just keep doing that. I don't want to take anything away from him. Great qualifying today.
Absolutely. Yuki Tsunoda is shown many times, and I think more and more he is showing consistently in qualifying that he's very good and very quick. It's the races that let him down. I, for one, am going to be absolutely gutted tomorrow if he ends up in his usual 12th and 13th, and you just think, like, how has this happened?
He'll be 8th until 15 laps to go, and then you'll blink and he'll be 14th and be like,
It happens every single time. Happens every time. And it's really frustrating to watch. And, he's there in the points, and then, suddenly just sort of like gets away from him at the end. So he needs to start delivering in the races now. And if he can take these kind of qualifying performances in eighth and start delivering the points, that's when, yeah, they might take note. But I think the problem for Tsunoda is the fact that, one, Honda are leaving, and two, Sergio Perez is doing very, very well at the moment. So,
and three,
don't need...
it's just the mentality. I just don't see Yuki getting that Red Bull seat. I just don't. I just feel like...
I think he'd have got it. I think he'd have got it now. They'd have maybe even last year taken a risk with how bad Perez did. Like, Red Bull gone by might have done it and just gone, Perez isn't performing, see you later. It's time for the next step. Whereas I think Red Bull have calmed down a little bit in terms of like swapping drivers out left, right and centre like they used to do.
Find out in 2 weeks' time when Daniel Ricciardo is replaced by Liam Lawson and all that good stuff, but we will see. Final question, Nate Moss Black 1. Can Red Bull seriously win every race of the season?
I think the question is, can Max?
I think the question actually is, can Max seriously get pole and win every race of the season? Because that is still on.
He can't win and get pole in every
race. Look, Max, I know you are an avid P1 listener. I'm sure you're listening right now. Look, just let us have Saturdays. We at least had one day where we could believe. We can't now make that Friday practice days. We can't really seriously be getting excited over FP2 now, and then we go into quali, and then you get pole, and then you win the race. Surely not. It can't happen.
I think it can.
Okay, good. But everyone should still tune in to the Matt P1 Tommy Twitch channel, where we're doing a watch-along from 3:30 in the morning tomorrow. So look forward to our tired faces there. P1 live show tickets are still available. So please, if you want to come and see me and Tommy in a few weeks' time, we'd love to have you there. There's also a competition that we've just put up on Instagram. Tommy is choking away. My bro's getting so emotional over a Max and pole win.
Too early in the morning.
Ratio,
lose my
three
voice.
Out of three. He's loving life. But he won't lose his voice in the P1 live show. So look forward to that. And Tommy, what are your final thoughts, please?
Yeah, I'm glad P1 live show isn't at 6 a.m. My final thoughts are, you know, we make the same joke every time about, oh, please watch Formula One. But we will. And there are so many things to look forward to. I know it's annoying that the same guy's likely to win, but maybe we get a cheeky Carlos dive bomb into turn one. But we know...
if we don't, we'll go back to bed.
You say that, but then like last year, obviously we had the crazy ending. Yeah. It can happen at this track. Turn one is normally quite chaotic. And there are so many stories up and down the grid. I genuinely think like people like Daniel Ricciardo is fighting, like, you know, for his career down there. Alex Albon's going to have a lot of pressure for him to deliver based on how the weekend's gone. It'd be fascinating to see how Hamilton's going to get back through the field.
Can Tsunoda combat a terrible strategy from RB?
Yeah.
Will Kevin Magnussen straight line turn one and produce the K-Mag train again? That is something that we all need to keep an eye out for, because I think Haas have definitely got some tricks up their sleeve.
How will Logan sit on the pit wall? Will it be like this
that
way?
Wild. How
that
could
way?
You? No, leave him alone. The poor man. Wow, we've left it on a Logan slander. That's crazy.
Let's leave it.
How's he going to sit on the pit wall? How is that not anything but slander? Let's end it on, our Alpine going to be washed? Therefore, it wasn't the final piece of slander. That is it. Thank you, everybody. It's early, so we don't know what we're going to say next. So we'll end it there. See you tomorrow. Lots of love. Bye. And Tommy, punch the mic just to end the end.
Just
the,
one
end
last
the pod.
Time.
Love that. Just wallop. Cheers. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.